Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ekev. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landy, the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute, discusses Ekev. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landy.
Hello, Larry. The Shabbat's an important parsha. Parsha Ekev talks about some of the proper ways of understanding going into the lands. B'nai Yisrael, the Israelites, are right on the border. They're ready to go in. It understands it, and they understand it properly. The very first verse says, Shema Yisrael, ato ver hayom at yarden levola reshet goyim, gedolim v'atsumim mimeka, harim gedolot v'tsurot v'ashamayim. Hear, O Israel, a laden term. You got to take it to heart. Thou art to pass over the Yarden this day to go to possess nations greater and mightier than themselves. Satisfies great and fortified up to the heavens. Great and numerous people. Anakim, Benanakim, children of the giants, whom you've known and whom you've heard people say, who can stand? Who can stand before these children of Anak, these giants? It's a very serious thing you're undertaking. It's commented on by a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, a terrific Talmid Chacham, creative Torah personality, and head of the court of the Eda Haredit, of the ultra-Orthodox separatist court. And look what he has to say about this. This whole parsha is given, I'm paraphrasing him, translating and paraphrasing, in the singular, Shema Yisrael Atah, you, in the singular, you in the singular, to tell us that the only reason that B'nai Yisrael had the zechut, had the privilege of receiving the Torah, was due to their unity, achdutam. And just as Chazal, our rabbis, interpret, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, that when Israel encamped there by Har Sinai, the rabbis say in that verse, Ki ish achad b'lev achad, one person, one heart. So too, the inheritance of the land is only given due to their unity. The notion of Klal Yisrael, of the full community of Israel, who has the ability to merge themselves together. And he writes, Kishiyesh machloket upirud chas v'shalom, when there is arguments and there is splintering, lo yuchlu l'resh torets, you're not able to inherit the land. And this is what the rabbis have said, and this is certainly in keeping for the holiday, the fast day that we just celebrated, that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and Jews were exiled from the land only because of sinat chinam, of causal hatred. For Israel will not merit to sit in the land or dwell in the land only if, not merits it, if they, unless they do the following. They do so, ki ish achad b'lev achad, just as they sat for the short period, by the mountain of Sinai, Har Sinai, and they sat there, v'yichan sham, and it says in the singular, therefore, ki ish achad b'lev achad, like one person, one heart, so too in dwelling in this land. So says the head of the Eda Haredit, of the ultra-Orthodox, and we can only say a hearty amen to that, and we hope that we all learn from that. Now, that's the first lesson of our achdut, which is necessary. But the Torah goes further. The Yodata Hayom, verse 3, Ki Adonai Elohecha hu over lefanecha eish ocha hu yashvidem v'hu yachniyem lefanecha v'arashtam v'vadatam maher kasher dibir Adonai loch. The second lesson after the lesson of unity is the following. Understand, therefore, the state. Understand this. Get this into your brain. That the Lord thy God is he who goes before thee. As a consuming fire, he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so thou shalt drive them out and destroy them quickly. This is what you have to understand. You have to understand, number two, that it's not you, but it's God who does the heavy lifting. And that everything else that is done and has to be done, and is mandatory that is done, and the bravery and the heroism and the fortitude of the children of Israel, both those who fight and those who support the fighters, those, as it were, on the home front and those on the battle lines, which always in all of Jewish history have been exactly the same place, almost. Their heroism, their constancy, their steadfastness is absolutely necessary, but we still understand it as the acts and the deeds that are done within the divine framework of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of God being the devouring fire. The next thing that we need to know, and now we get to verses 4 and 5. Al tomar b'levecha, this is to know what you shouldn't understand, meaning what you shouldn't think. Al tomar b'levecha, b'hadof adonai elhecha, otam b'fanecha l'imor, b'tzidkati hevi'ani, adonai l'reshet ta'oretz hazot, v'rishat ha'goyim ha'ela adonai morishom b'fanecha. Lo v'tzidkatcha v'yosher l'vecha, ata bo l'reshet atarsam, Kibirish atago yima ela adenoya lohecha, morisham miponecha, roman hakim et a devor ashernishba adenoya voltecha, Avraham, liyitzchak, liyakov. This is what you need to know. Speak not thou in thy heart after the Lord thy God has cast them out before thee, saying, for because of my righteousness, it was due to my righteousness, tikati, the Lord has brought me to possess this land. And it was because of their wickedness, for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out before thee. You think there's two reasons why you were successful and why you now have the land. Because you were righteous and because they were wicked. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart. It's not because you're so great. Dost thou go to possess the land? But on account of the wickedness of these nations, as the Lord thy God drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word, which means he should fulfill the promise which the Lord swore to thy fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You may have it all wrong, and here we should turn to the Ramban, who is able to explain to us the mistakes we make. We think that there are two reasons that we have the land. And the two reasons we have the land is because the nations of the world, of the nations who inhabit that land, were so evil that they deserve to be driven out. And secondly, that it's because of our righteousness that we were able to possess it. It's like two parts, right? Why were they driven out? And why, well, somebody else could come in. And why did we come in? And we think that the answer to the first question is because of their wickedness, is why they were driven out. And we think the answer to the second question of why we're here is because of our righteousness. Understand, it's not because of your righteousness. Neither indeed, the ma'aseh, the Ramban explains, and even the righteousness that you might think, at least in terms of our intentions. You might say, well, we don't do everything right. We don't always get it right, but at least we're headed in the right direction. At least we intend well. The biblical verses here are utterly skeptical and deny that. It is true, as the Ramban explains, Rishat Goyim of Duhaim, they were destroyed because of their own evil. But it was due to the Shvuat Avotecha. It was because of the promise and oath that was made to your ancestors, Avotecha, have you, Yerashta Otaha, or as if you have inherited this land. Ki ein achet shalcha yochol v'atel ha-matana shenatan l'avotecha. And even though you're not so righteous, and even though you have sinned, that promise is so great, it can't undo that promise is so great that your sins cannot undo that promise. No matter how great your sin is, it cannot undo that promise. That promise is a fixed promise. And therefore, do not say in your heart that it was your righteousness coupled with the evil of those nations that dwell there that caused all this. It has nothing to do with your righteousness. It only has to do with God's promise in terms of bringing you in. The Rabbeinu Bachya has a very interesting comment on this. Rabbeinu Bachya, in this chapter, says the following. He says, well, it seems pretty clear that they are dispossessed because of their evil. And we come into possession because of the promise that God had made. Rabbeinu Bachya says, Nireh ki il hayu tzadikim. It would appear that if those nations on the land, those who inhabited that, what happens if they were tzaddikim? What happens if they were righteous? They could not be lo yu megurashim misham. They should not have been dispossessed. If so, how will we ever come to the possession? Remember, there's two parts to the deal. One is dispossession of those who are present, and the possession of the land by the Israelites. So if the possession of Israel, the land of Israelite, is due to a promise, a very strong promise, how will that jive in case the nations in the land were not evil and did not do terrible things? But he explains the following. That he says again, he reminds us that the nations were evil and therefore it was suitable that they be driven forth. No one has an inalienable right. If you are evil, you could be driven forth. Va'af imo yu tzadikim. But if they were righteous, or even if they were righteous, lo yisharu ba'aretz, they would not remain in the land. Ki ha'aretz pikadon bi'adam mizman havtachat avot. Because the land was only, in a sense, a deposit in their hands. They were only holding it, waiting for those who were the legal possessors. And that came from the promise of the Lord God to the Avot. And therefore, the Israelites would have to possess the land. However, if they were righteous, the inhabitants of the land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yuchal lehitiv imahem v'otel lehem eretz acheret. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given them another piece of land, therefore, and done well for them and done good for them. The fact they were dispossessed would be a pain and a moral problem if they were righteous. And if they were righteous, then it's a moral problem. And in that case, Rabbi Bachya says, God would surely have to give them their own land. And he could do so because God possesses the earth in its fullness. But it would have been impossible in any case for them to have stayed there because the matter needed to be fulfilled. The matter he's referring to is the promise made to the Avot. The Bnei Yisrael always had the land as their possession, even when it wasn't in their possession, even when it was lying in deposit with another group of nations. The fact that these group of nations are replaced by Am Yisrael is because Am Yisrael was promised us at a very early spot, an early time. If they were righteous, they deserve their own place. They deserve their own country. They deserve their own spot. They deserve what they could have because, after all, they're righteous, but not in the land of Israel. So says Rabbeinu Bachya. But we should be careful, according to this, neither to think that it's our righteousness. It has nothing to do with our righteousness. It has to do with our promise. Their dispossession, therefore, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, dispossession, which means dispossession without their own lands because of their own evil. But if they are righteous, then they surely deserve their own place, and that must be attended to. The very next factor which kind of puts this together in terms of B'nai Yisrael being humble as they go into the land, is a repetition and expansion of that idea. V'yadata lo v'tzidkotcha adnei olhecha noten locha to arz ha-tova ha-zot l'rishta ki am k'she oref ata. And you should know that it's not due to your righteousness that the Lord God has given you this land, this good land, to inherit. We've heard that. But now is the extra piece. It's the lead up to the following. He hasn't done that because now it doesn't say evil, says something else. Ki am kashe oref ata. Because you are a stiff-necked people. In terms of imagery, the Sforno comments, ki am kashe oref ata, says actually, as long as you're a stiff-necked person, people, remember it's in the singular, it's impossible that true tzedek, true righteousness, true yosher, true straightforwardness, moral straightforwardness, yosher levav, straightforwardness of the heart, exists with a someone or a nation that is kshe oref. Because kshe oref is a term that refers to a person's obsession with going on their own path in their own direction without paying attention to anyone else. Even when a moreh, even when a teacher will be looking over their back and saying, your moves, your actions are imprecise, just as a gym instructor will say to a gymnast, or just as a golf pro will say to one who's up at the tee or near the cup, or just as a football coach will say to his linebacker, standing back of them and saying, your moves are all wrong. So too morally, when a moreh will say to an individual, the direction you're going is wrong, your moves, your ethical moves are not ethical, they're unethical. Your moral moves are actually immoral. And if he will tell them that, it will be fruitless, the Sforno says, if the person is stiff-necked. Even it won't work even if the coach explains it patiently, even if the pro gives proofs and gives illustration. And that's because the person cannot turn his neck. He's stiff-necked, as Sforno says, that he has a rod in the back of his neck, and he can't turn, he can't incline, and turn back and see the instructor's face and see the instructor's fingers and see the diagrams that they can draw for him and the proofs that they can give him. All he can be is obsessively and deathly obsessive about the false direction that he is going into. He has ki'ilu or po kashe v'gid barzel. It's as if he has a hard, hard neck, and he has through his spine, let's say, a rod of steel that does not allow him to turn or to twist in any way. So this is a parsha that tells us about our own humility, but our need to be able to turn our face and turn our back and to look and to think and to consider, but at the same time, It tells us about the need to enter into the land, the blessing of entering into the land, and that entering the land has a larger promise than that has to do with ourselves. It's larger than our righteousness, which doesn't seem to be much according to the parsha. It's larger than all that, and this is the humbling instruction, and I would say the inspired instruction that we receive this week from the Parsha. Thank you, and Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.